Okay, good morning, Chevet. We're up to Hakdama Yud. So we made our way through the Dalai Lama Sobia. We spoke about Hakdama Tess, we spoke about the four elements. We spoke a lot about Chachma Obina recently, Yaakov and Leah, Yaakov and Rachel, Malchus and Bina. So we're making our way now to the Shemaya to discussing the Keser. Hakdama Yud Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. So he writes, V'Oivin HaChamishi, if you recall, we're discussing different ways to divide, to understand the Sefirus and the relationship between them. A fifth way to divide the Eser Sefirus would be to be machalik between the Sefirus Keser and the Sefirus Chachma. Are you already familiar with the footnote here at the top, where he says that the Keser corresponds to the Kutzel Shel Yud? So we know that we spoke a lot about the four letters of Havaya. And when we break down the Sefirus in the following way, Chachma, Bina, Tiferes, and Malchus. Tiferes includes, as it is the letter Vav, the six Sefirus in that area. So together, through Chachma, Bina, Tiferes, and Malchus, the Shem Havai represents the collection of, you would say, nine of the Sefirus. And the tenth Sefira, which is Keser, is the Kutzel Shel Yud, is the tip of the letter Yud. And we spoke about it in the Shiur Mampurim, when we spoke about that Haman was Nitla, that he was hung, Chazal say, on the coats, on an eitz, which was a coat, it refers, of course, to the Kutzel Shel Yud. The tip of the letter Yud is where Haman was hung, on the sphere of Keser. So he writes, let's continue, Ki sphiras Keser nikra b'sifri ha-mekubolim oylam ha-tzachos. What that means, tzachzachos, hu kol kach zach mezukach. It's so pure. V'kulo ruchni, ad she'i efshar ladamar mizekla. What defines Keser is the inability to speak about it, because it's so lofty. Al be'emez, yeshnan shama kol ha'olam ha-skmo b'shar ha-sphiros. But what we do know about the Keser is this much, that even in Keser, it's a sphira, and that it contains also 10 spheres of its own. Hainu, Keser Sheba Keser, Chachma Sheba Keser, Bina Sheba Keser, etc. And as he points out in the Sifkaten here, Gimel, which is Dibur HaMaschal, called Sphira Klula Me'eser, that the rule which is laid down by the Mekubalim and is accepted by the Mekubalim is that when we speak about Eser Sphiros, every sphere of the Eser Sphiros has its own 10 spheros, and that goes on forever and ever. So it's from that perspective that there's an Achdus, there's a unification, a oneness which runs through all the spheros, because endlessly 10 spheros, each one of them is a collection of its own 10 spheros. So Keser, being one of the 10 spheros, also has 10 spheros. And those 10 spheros will also have 10 spheros. And that will go on the Olmiyad. However, Ach B'Keser, he writes, let's continue, Him Nikroim B'Shem HaSachirim. What's interesting about the Keser is that each one of the Eser spheros of Keser has its own code name, which is very different than the other spheros. And this really is to demonstrate the loftiness of this of the Keser. And these are names which come up a lot in Kabbalah and discussing the Keser. And he lists a few of them here, and they're all listed in Sefer Ditzniusa. Kegon Moches Dima. So Moches Dima is the code word for a Chachma of Keser. But it has its own name called Moches Dima, the hidden Mayach, the hidden brain. Tala de Beducha, Kruma da Avira, Amr Nekei. These are all different expressions in explaining the spheres of the Keser. Okay, so the Keser is considered to be the Olam HaTzachzachos. It's considered to be very lofty. The Mekubalim don't speak really a lot about Keser, although they do, but it has a different gisha and approach to speaking about keser, because when speaking about keser, we're kind of mulling around in the darkness, because the keser is always considered to be something which is mufla, as he goes on to explain now, as we turn the page. Gam nikra keser pela elyon. So the keser has many nicknames. One of them is called pela elyon. So milashan hafla'a. And the word hafla'a is the milashan mechusav in elam, something which is concealed and hidden. And he writes in parentheses, v'hu mezgale ba'alef osios pela. Of course, the first sphere, which is keser, has a lot to do with aleph. And you can have a lot of fun with the relationship between aleph and pela. V'alzeh amr chazal, and the chazal tell us in the Mishnah, chagiga, v'mufla mimcha al tidrosh. Something which is called mufla, which he refers to keser, al tidrosh. Don't try to understand it b'derech drisha like you would understand other chachmas. Why? Because it's so great and lofty, it's better that you don't speak about it, that you don't, because it's going to be, one, very difficult to understand, and secondly, what you do understand will be very lofty for people to understand below you. That's why many of the svarim don't speak about it at length. Because it's not fit for us to speak about it. Nevertheless, we need to know that there is something like this. If you take a look, and just to try to clarify a little bit, what is this dynamic about the keser, that on the one hand it's a mufla, that it can't be understood, yet the fact that we know that there is a keser, there's a concept like that, behooves us to try to understand this keser. So if you take a look at what he quotes here on the bottom right corner, which is in Sifkaten Hay, but it's in the paragraph, which is the bottom, which starts off with the Rashi Tevas Bishla HaKadosh. Beis Shalaman Hei Kof. Bishla HaKadosh Kosav. Im Hiyois Shinem Ar Sfiris Keser. Although we say about Keser, Eina Mipnei Sheyesh Bo Hasaga Klal. So we can't be masing the Keser. There's no Hasaga by Keser. Nevertheless, Ela Mipnei Sheasad Lehizgalos Lamata B'chach Mubina. Nevertheless, the Keser is something which will be revealed in Chach Mubina. The Ga'inim say, Ki Perish Keser comes from a Lashon of Hamtana, which means patience. Mi Lashon HaPasek, as it says in Eov, Kater Li Ze'er Va'achvach. Wait a little bit for me, and I will reveal myself to you. V'akavana, what this means, Al Tamik Boy She'im Boy Hasaga. You can't be Mamik in it, because you can't be Masik it. And that's why it says, B'mufla Mimcha Al Tidrosh. So what he's saying in revealing to us in just a few words is the following concept. That there's always a hishtalshalos, there's always revelation which is taking place from higher to lower. So therefore, what is in keser now is asad lehiskalos, will be revealed. When will the hasagas of keser be revealed? When they make their way lower into chachma bina. And when chachma bina, what is now Chachma Bina will reveal itself later in the lower spheres. So then Chachma Bina will become more revealed as things make their way down. It's like water. It's in its high place, but it makes its way down. But as that Shefa makes its way down and becomes known through the lower Kalim, which are able to digest, to understand, to be comprehend, Nu Giluyim and Nu Hasagar San Hizgal in the Keser. So therefore, that place called Keser will always be the Makom where things are higher than Hasagah. However, what's Keser today will be Chachman Bina tomorrow. And when it comes into Chachman Bina, you'll be able to look at it and say, oh, I didn't understand it when it was up there, but now that it's in Chachman Bina now, I have a little bit of an understanding of that. And Kavachamer when it makes its way down lower. So I hope that helps us understand a little bit this relationship between Giloy and non-Giloy, because whatever is in the Keser in that Makom is going to be beyond Hasaga. And you'll say about that, Keser, just like the king wears a crown and the crown is higher than his Seichel, and for that reason, it's considered to be higher than the king. Because although a mensch is higher than a crown, but the crown represents something which is higher than the mensch. And that's the malchus. Because when you die, king, somebody also will fill your shoes. So therefore, the malchus is bigger than you. And you just take on the role of being melech, but what melech represents is something which is higher than the other. And that's what the keser represents.
Is that part of all spheres as they get... as they filter down, they're more revealed, or is it only in the world of the keser?
No, everything. Because as the keser makes its way down, it's like a car wash. Like as one car goes through, right, then another one is coming through. So there's always, everything is being pushed out constantly, and making its way lower.
Only you're talking related.
It's only in Keser that you don't have any Hasaga Bechlal. But you would say about the lower spheres that that which is lower has more Hasaga than the ones on top of it. When we're speaking about Hishtalshelus of Shefa, in terms of, let's say, knowledge, in terms of knowledge which is coming down. So in that world of Keser, that place is considered to be Mufla. But what's Mufla today will be understood tomorrow. And that which is understood today will be more understood tomorrow. That's always going to be the pattern which is taking place as the Shefa makes its way down to lower places. So that's Keser. That's why it says, Kata li ze'er v'achlach. Wait a little bit. So therefore, what you would say about Keser is that you can't take your Seichel and go into Keser and to start to dig there and to hope and to think that you're going to get something out of it. What you could do is you could be Metzapeh. You can hope and yearn that that which is higher than you will make its way down. And by yearning, it'll actually motivate and encourage the Hasagas of Keser to come closer to you.
You can't make your way back.
Right. Yeah, there's no access there. I mean,
Keser's tied to Ratzon, right?
Keser's tied to Ratzon, yeah. The way that you access it is through Ratzon, really. That's really the klal. Is that you can have Hasaga, but not with the Kalim of Chachman Bina, which are mind Kalim. It's something which is higher than the mind. So there's one part of the Adam which is higher than his mind, and that's his Ratzon. So if a person wants to be Zeichet to Hasagas which are higher than him, the way to do that is to have a Ratzon. So therefore, if a person is, let's say, learning a Sugya, and he comes to a place where there's a brick wall, and he says, Chapnisht, I can't understand what's going on over here. So one Mahalach would be, is to be Ma'ayin. Like, what does it mean to be Ma'ayin? Really, an Iyun is when you take the time to really want something. That's what it means to be Ma'ayin. You really want to understand something. And so that Ratzon of wanting to understand will bring down the Chachma. That's how thinking works, really. I mean, if you understand the concept, you want to break it down so you can use Chachma and Bina to say, what is this? Help me understand it. But when you're at a brick wall and you have a kash on something and you want to understand, so what happens is that you start to be more Cheshik to understand. And when you're more Cheshik to understand, so that what happens is, in terms of what happens in the previous worlds, is that there's a communication which is taking place between the Chachma, which is higher than you, and you. You're communicating with that Chachma. And that Ratzon is asking that the Chachma should be brought down from that place of Keser into a way that it can be digested through your Chachma and Bina. Sometimes you have a chush, like, it's at the tip of my tongue. Like, I really know that this makes sense, but I just can't say it. What it means that you just can't say it is that you haven't digested it yet. It's not yet in your Chachma Bina Das process to be able to fashion it and bring it down to say it with a klarkai. But you feel like it's there. That feeling that you feel like it's there is that Chachma, which is that Ha'ara, which is beyond, is through your Ratzon, and that's when that Ratzon really starts to awaken itself. When you feel that it's mamish so close, and you just have to bring it down a little bit. So that's the communication which is taking place between Ratzon and Keser.
Does it work like that in Gashmis also? If you feel like something's out of reach?
Yeah, absolutely.
You generate a stronger Ratzon for that. Yeah, you can
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, that's why the cloud usually in the world is that he who has the bigger Ratzon is going to be the one who wins. The best in athletes, the best in anything, are the people who are the most determined. The people who are the most determined are going to be the most matzliach. Because it brings out a ratzon. And whenever there's a ratzon, it brings out a yecholus to do. So if somebody is 5'7" and he wants to dunk, yeah? So if he has a really, really strong ratzon, he can bring out kochos, which are lamalam in a teva. So this person can't, but this person can. Why? What happened? What was the difference? It wasn't that he has better hops. It's that many times, it's because this person has better ratzon. And the Ratzon can allow a person to do something which he's generally not capable of doing. Well, if a person's in a crunch, he's in a difficult matzav, right? Or if he's sakanas nefesh, kal v'chaymer. So what happens is that many times you hear stories of people that somebody was underneath a car and he's able to lift up a car. Where do those kochos come from? It's that buried within an adam is tremendous kochos. It's that it takes a Ratzon, that when a person's chaym is on the line, so the chaym brings out hidden kochos within a person. So if a person lives like that all the time, that's his avodas Hashem, that he feels that this is my life, not just like something which I do, this is my life. So a person who serves Hashem with his life accesses kochos, which are lamalim in a tevu, which is how tzaddikim serve Hashem, because they feel that their life is on the line all the time. And when your life is on the line, so you bring out hidden kochos. There's a very big klal that he who has the ratzon wears the keser. He's the gold medal. Let's continue. V'yesh l'das, we should also know, the afal bishes sphere keser nelemes v'tachlis halama kanal, that even though that the sphere of keser is extremely hidden, Im kol zeh gidul lanu chachamim zal. The besfira hazayis nimtzaim tarach amudei or. Right? What a coincidence that tarach is the same thing as keser, right? Because keser is supposed to mean something. That in premius, keser represents the light of the keser. It's called tarach amudei or. The 620 lights, hameirin lahasiras hatachtonos, which shine down to the lower spheres. And he explains, ve'ilu hatarach oiris nechalakim l'shnayim. And these 620 oiris divide into two parts. What's called shy oiris nechnas l'sfiras chachma v'nikraim yesh. 310 go into chachma, and that's called yesh. And there's also another shy, which goes into bina, which is called shy. Okay, so really, he could have just said it yesh b'shai. There's yesh in chachma, and there's shy in bina. In Sifkat and Ches here, where he says yesh b'chachma and shai b'bina, he quotes the Arizal that he says that in the Keser there's tarach amudior, and that they divide into yesh and shai. So he explains, kasher ha'avonos garmi v'nechazim hem aklipos in the middle, so that the avonos cause chait, so oz nikra keri. The reason why keri is called thus is because it's gematria yesh. It's makalkel, the iris, and makes keri. So he says that one of the famous psukim in Chavakuk, which says, Hashem shamati shimacha yareisi. So the Zohar says on this, Hashem shamati, it's Rashi Teva's yud shin, that's yesh. Shimacha yareisi is Rashi Teva's shai. So the Zohar says, this is a remez to Chachman Bina. Because we know that these Oiris of Keser make their way to Chachman Bina. So of course it would take Ian to try to understand why that is, but this is one of the sources, the Ramazim, where we see a manifestation of the Shai and Yesh Oiris in this pasuk in Chavakuk. Hashem Shemati Shimach Yareisi. If you take look a little bit lower in the Zera Kaddish in the bottom paragraph of this page, he says it was Zera Kaddish Mevuyar. Degam Elo Hashai Oilemes Michachma Nischaku Lebeis Chalakim. So these two Oiris of Shai and Yesh, so the Chelik of Yesh, which is called Chachma, also divides into two sections. Raz Oiris Kaminyan R, it divides into as follows, 207 and 103. Raz Oiris Kaminyan R, and those go L'Teicha Chesed, because that's on the right side, just like of the right side of Chachma, so to speak. And Kuf Gimel Oiris Kaminyan Mincha, and those go into Gvura, because the Mid of Yitzchak is Gvura. Right, Mincha was Mesukan by Yitzchak. So he says, Ayin Sham called Inyan Ba'irech, if we take a look at the Zohar, we have this Inyan that we have also Yesh of Chachma, which divides into Roz Kuf Gimel. Okay, or Mincha. Just a idea to be aware of. So coming back upstairs. So after speaking about Keser, Tarachim with the Or, as they divide into Yesh and Shai, which is Chachma and Bina, so he's going to tell us another principle regarding Keser. He says, "V'hinei Keser oila kaminyan esrim." Keser is gematria 620, which is the same gematria as the word esrim, 20. So what does 20 have to do with Keser? Ki agam shekol sfira mei esir sfira is klulim mei esir. So we explained before that every sfira is comprised of 10 spheres of its own. Im kol zeh sfiras Keser. However, when it comes to the sphere of Keser, there's a very important point which comes up a lot when speaking about Keser. It's a very important idea. That the idea, the relationship of Keser, is that it's like a bridge which connects the Ma'atzil, which is Hashem, to the Nivraim. For that reason, when we speak about Keser, there's a certain sense of doubling by Keser, which is represented by the Ma'atzil, which is like Mitzad Hashem, Kivyachol, and Mitzad the Mekablim, the Netzalim. Eser Mitzad HaMekabel, ve Eser Mitzad HaMashpia. So not like we think the Mashpia here is referring to Hashem, and the Mekabel refers to us, the opposite. The Mekabel from Hashem, which is the Keser, the part of Keser which is Mekabel from him, and the part of the Keser which is Mashpia to those below him. Tzad ha-mekabel, meir, b'or, gadol, v'neir, yoysev, yoysev, mitzana, mashbiya. The tzad mekabel, which is the higher part of the keser, which is receiving from the Orein Sof. is greater than the tzad hamashpia, which is below, which is to bring down to the lower halakim. Because the makabel is closer to the Ein Sof. Right? Because we're talking about here about the beginning of Sfiris. The beginning of Sfiris is the makom which is makabel from the Ein Sof. So that the Rosh of Keser, which is the higher part of Keser, which is makabel from the Ein Sof, is going to be infinitely higher than the tzad hamashpia, which is to bring down and to transfer the shvesha to lower places. Because he's receiving from the highest of highs. Unlike the mashpia, which is the lower part. And therefore, they're considered to be like two different oilamas. So the keser divides into two parts, like we explained before. How do we get into this? Because we said keser is gematria esrim. Why esrim? Because although keser is one sphere, we can look at it as two spheres within one. There's the tzad hamakabel and the tzad hamashpia.
Doesn't every sphere have that?
What do you mean?
Doesn't every sphere have tzad hamakabel and tzad hamashpia?
Yeah, but over here, it's different because every sphere below keser is interacting with the sphere. Over here, keser is interacting with the Ein Sof. So the difference between the tzad hamakabel and tzad hamashpia is going to be so vastly different because of the interaction here. So we call that Esrim. And that means that it almost has like, instead of every sphera having 20 spheres like it has here, every sphera has 10. Because that dynamic is not going to be so vast. But over here, there's a special chashivus which is given to the fact that, oh, the tzara keser ha'elyon is being mekabel from the Ein Sof. So that has 10 spheres of its own. And then the lower part of keser has 10 spheres of its own because that's the beginning of interaction with the spheres below. And these have two names which come up a lot in Sefer Kabbalah and Sefer Chassidus. So this is a very important idea, probably more relevant than anything we've mentioned here about Keser so far. And that's the following. The Gam Shmei Sem Einan Doymin Zeh LaZeh. And they have different names. The Tzad HaMashpia is called Arech Anpin. Arech Anpin. That's the lower part of Keser, is called Arech Anpin. The Tzad HaMakabel Nikra Atik Yoymin. And the tzad of Makabola, the tzad which is Makabel, is called Atik Yoymin. And in the brackets he explains that Arech Anpin means like the long face. And the reason why it's called the long face is because face always has to do with Rachamim. The backside always has to do with Din, and the front has to do with Rachamim. That's what he explains in Sefkot Yod Aleph. And if you recall, we spoke once about the Ze'er Anpin. Ze'er Anpin was like the Tiferes. It corresponds to Tiferes. So there's going to be the elongated face, which is the Arech Anpin, which has the Shaychus, the Kasser. And we speak about Ze'er Anpin, that's going to refer to the sphere of Tiferes. It has to do with different parts of him. So Arech Anpin has a Shaychus, the Kasser, and Ze'er Anpin has a Shaychus to Tiferes. So here we have Arech Anpin and Atik. Atik is the Lashon Vayetak Misham. It's removed, it's detached. Because that part of the keser, which is the higher part of keser, which is makabel from the Ein Sof, we say about that, no shayches. That's like ne'atak. We're removed from that. So therefore, before we divide one more time, this should be very clear to us. In keser, which is one sphere of its own, keser is gematria esrim. Esrim represents two parts of the keser. The higher part, which is called atik, which is receiving from the Ein Sof, and the lower part, which is called Arech Anpin, which is many times just called Arech, or it has abbreviations of that, it will always be Aleph Aleph, Arech Anpin, which is the lower part, which is going to be Mashpia to the lower spheres. And we're going to make one more slice. Ach be'atik yishnei shemes. Even in Atik, there are two names to it, representing two different parts of Atik. Hazayin tachtayinim sheba, the lower seven spheres of Atik, has its own name, which is called Atik Yoymin, corresponding to Yoymin days, the 7 days. That's Atik Yoymin. The Hagar in the Gimel Rishonos, the higher part of Atik, has its own name, which is called Atika Kadisha. Okay? Atika Kadisha. So let's just chazar one more time. Not that it's going to come up again, but just to wrap it up. So Keser is Gematria Esrim because Keser has two unique parts. The Makabel from the Orein Sof and the Mashpia to the lower spheres. The Mashpia to the lower spheres is called Arach Anpin. The Makabel, which is the higher part, which is called Atik, divides into its two parts, which we spoke about before. The Gimel Rishonos, which is called the Mochin, and the Zayin Tachtonos, which is called the Midos. So the Midos, which is seven, has its own name called Atik Yoimin. And the higher part, which is the Gimel Rishonos, also has its name, which is called Atika Kadisha. And together it's called Atik, the Chelik Elyon of the Keser. Okay. Let's continue. We're going to be speaking now about Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. Whenever we find a revelation of Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, it comes from the sphere of Keser. Now, of course, there could be a Keser within every sphere, right? But from that place of Keser is where the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim emerge from. After the breaking of the Luchos, Hashem revealed to Moshe the secret of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. And what are they? It's a big machlokas what they are. But this is the way that we paskin in Kabbalah. Hey, because this is the way the Arizal learns. Kael, Rachum, Bechanun, Erech, Apayim, Vrav Chesed, Ve'emes, Noitze Chesed, La'alafim, Noitze Orm, Mafesh, Ve'chatov, Ve'nakei. These are 13. Notice, of course, that the Shemos of Havaya, right, are omitted here. So although many Mekubalim include Havaya, and they are Mechalik, Yud Gimel Midos in a different way, but the Ari leaves them out, and they're considered to be higher than the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachum. Ve'nikram, let's continue. And they are called Yud Gimel Tikuni Dikna Kadisha. The 13 strands of the beard. And they have a shayiches to the beard, of course. Kisham nimtzayim Yud Gimel Tzinoras HaShefa Hanir Mazin B'Sairis HaZaken. There are 13 places on the face from which the beard grows from, even the mustache, the whole works. V'hema Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And from there comes out Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Another name which comes up is called Yud Gimel Tikuni Arech. As we spoke about before, Arech is another name from the Keser. Like we said before, that Arech that part of the Keser is charged with being the Mashpia to the lower places. So Yud Gimel Midos Arech, Tikuni Arech means that they are Yud Gimel Tikuni Arech, which bring down the Shefa to the lower spheres from the Keser, which is Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. Okay? So, if you take a look in Sivkatan Yud Zayin, so this is just a very interesting idea, which in Chassidus, of course, we know the I don't want to say emphasis, although it's just accepted, Azai, that when it comes to the beard is a very sacred place in Chassidus. And not just in Chassidus, but even by all Mekubalim, especially by the Sfaradim, that they have a certain Chashivas, which by the Ashkenazim, that they didn't have such a Chashivas for that, partially due to the fact that Shabtai Tzvi and the whole Inyan of Kabbalah was Matushtosh because of that whole Inyan. But Al Pi Kabbalah, there's a very big Zahiris when it comes to the beer. So he quotes B'nai Yisrasra, we could just do it inside, and Yud Zayin. The B'nai Yisrasra Kasav, that they correspond to the beard. So although Alpi Hilchas HaTorah, not shaving the beard, is just considered to be a chok, of which the Rambam writes the reason is because that was the practice of the Koimim, of the priests in those days, that they were all clean shaven. Right? But in Pnimius, it's a much deeper time than that. It has a shayiches to the place of the Keser. Over Magid Taluma in brackets, he writes, Moshe ben Yisrael b'lashon kotcho, in his other sefer, Magid Taluma in brachos, he writes, V'chalila l'hashchis hazakan afir deisam. So when it comes to Pnimius HaTorah, it's not just not to do giluach, not just to remove the beard, like in an improper way, which the Torah asks. It's the whole concept. Even Ali Desam, which I'll be Torah is mutter, not to do so. And again, we're not taking anything lemaisa from this. Like, we're just bringing down the ideas because it's an important idea in Torah. But it's we're not talking here halacha. So he says it's a very big iser that in Kabbalah is considered to be, you know, one of the chamuras that a person shouldn't do such a thing. Skip the brackets. And so that's why, because the higher worlds and the lower worlds are connected. When we wear our beards, which is Yudgimah Tikkuni Tikkun, B'mitzayis Bach Shamayi, so we're Ma'ayra, Yudgimah Midas Arachamim La'ila. Okay? V'habeiz Shemas Havaya HaKayim V'tar Yudgimah Midas, the two Havayas, which precede the Yudgimah Midas Arachamim, Hem Rav and Kivyachal Mitzvahs Peyas HaRoi Shinitzim Neshal HaKiv. Those correspond to the Peyas, the right and left side of the face. Those are the Peyas. V'nei Kol Zem V'kubal B'yadein HaMechach Mi'ha'emes. And this is all mekubal from us, from all the mekubalim which preceded us. Ad mipi meishin mipni agvura. That this is the inyan of what the beard is. It's an inyan of yigim vidas arachamim. Which again, you see how there's this line which divides what the mitzvah is al pi pnimius and the mitzvah al pi halacha. So he continues and he quotes again the Bnei Sascher really led the charge in this inyan because he wrote another sefer called Igud Dekala. So everything here is really from the Bnei Sascher, just in different places. He writes very, very deep things. Api the Medrash, Luchos Evan. So Luchos Evan. We know that the Luchos are called Luchos Evan. Kol mi she'inu meisim l'chayev ke'evan hazai. Anybody who doesn't make his cheeks like this Evan, like the Evan of the Luchos, ain't a zeichet l'tayra. It's not going to be zeichet l'tayra. So he explains, he says that an Evan is silent. And Evan never changes. A daimim doesn't move, nothing has no life. Whereas something which grows from the ground is always sprouting. So he says that on the cheeks is where the beard grows. And the zakan is meramis the dikna kadisha, which gives the rachamim. From where the Yidgim Midas HaRachamim correspond to the Yidgim Midas Shatara in Idrashis Bahen. So he explains this medrash. Hamesim L'chayev Ka'evan. A person who makes his cheeks like Evan, that means that he doesn't touch it. That he doesn't touch it. She'ein Goiz is an Oisai. So therefore, Yeshbo HaChana L'Kabbalah Satara Kanin in the Mashal Choisa. If a person leaves his Yidgim Midas HaRachamim, he can be Zaychet HaHatzlacha in Yidgim Midas Shatara in Idrashis Bahen. That's what he says. He says that these two things are correlated with each other, that according to how much Yidgim Midas HaRachamim person has on his face is how much Hatzlacha he'll have in learning Torah. That's why by the Chassidim it's very makubal, of course, that they leave it, because what is Chassidus? It's a way of life which is gebayit on Pnimis HaTorah. Not Alpi Halacha, but Alpi Halacha, of course, but Halacha as it manifests the Pnimis HaTorah. So by them, it's just a way of life. It's just a way of life. And again, in the next piece, he says that for that reason, we don't have to do it inside, but he says that silsel hazakein is mesayel havin haTorah. Therefore, when a person, you find many times that when he's struggling in a sugya, so he'll start to stroke his beard, he says the reason why that is because you're being ma'ayr with the yigam b'midas shatar and the jashas bahen through interacting with the yigam b'midas of rachamim. So let's continue. Ubisfiras tiferes and ikrozer anpin on the bottom of Kufman Ches. We still have to get to the end here. Ubisfiras tiferes and ikrozer anpin. So tiferes, which is called the smaller face, which we spoke about before, named Zayin testikunim. It has testikunim, 9 tikunim. Sh'amar Ma'isha Rabbeinu Lavashalom Achar Shtichos Amiraglim. Okay, so there's Yidgim Midas of Rachamim, and there's also 10 midos, which is Niskala after the Chet of the Miraglim, which is what? Erech apayim v'rav chesed naisei avon u'pesha v'nakei poikid avazovaz abonim al shileshim v'al ribeyim. These are what's called the 9 tikune dikna of the ze'er anpin. So we have 9 and 13. The heinu krayim test tikunim v'ze anpin u'bezman shemisayirim hayugim v'vidas aracham v'mukam ba'arach anpin. So what happens is that when there's a hisiris of Yidgim Midas HaRachamim by the Keser, it's meir lamata to Ze'er. It shines down to Ze'er into lower places. So you find many times in davening, for example, by Nefilah Sapayim and Neshmana Esrei and Baruch Shamar, you find this idea that you take the Ze'er Apim, which has 9, and you want to be mashlim him that he should also have 13. That's as if, like, if when he becomes older, that he has a full zakan. So therefore, that means that the Ze'er Apim, which has only 9 tikkunim, will be zeichet to 13 tikkunim. So you find that there's this relationship between Ze'er Apim and Aruch Anpin, when you're supposed to be mashlim with the 9 to become 13. So of course, the reason why they were in Eskala after the Shviras Haluchos is because the Shviras Haluchos meant that there was a certain din, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to ma'orah a tremendous rachamim after that din. Like we know, like when a husband and a wife, if they quarrel, so when there's a reconciliation, so that it brings them to a greater avon than they had before. So that was the rachamim that Moshe was able to ma'orah after the Chet HaEgel, that although this wasn't Eskala till after the Chet HaEgel, but Moshe Rabbeinu was able to ma'orah a rachamim from Hashem's keser, to ma'orah give me this rachamim. So there's 13 and then there's 9. So over here on the side in Sifkotin, in one of these Sifkotins here, on the bottom of Kuftan Tas to the top, so he quotes the B'nai Tzachar once again, that B'nai Tzachar has many teachings when he speaks about Tammuz and Av, that the 22 days which begin with Shavuot of Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, those 22 days, they break down into 13 and 9. 13 days in Tammuz and the 9 days in Av, which correspond to these two tikkunim together. Because during that time of din, which is the zman of Shvira Saluchos and the Chet HaEgel, etc., so these 22 days, which is 13 and 9, there's an awakening of the Havashem's heavenly midos to bring down rachamim. Of course, 22 also corresponds to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Right? So there's a lot to work with in terms of Pnimius HaTorah here, which come up a lot in the Svarim, that these 13 and 9, when combined together, you find references to that, for example, and to the Chof Beis Osios, etc. Okay, so one last nakuda. If you take a look at Sifkot Yud Ches, he speaks about the fact that these Yud Gimel Midos and these Tes Midos has a shaychis to what's called the Itcher Chasadim Itcher Degvuras, but we're not there yet. We're going to leave that to the next Hakdama Mitzvah Shem, when we speak about Das and its relationship to the Keser, that relationship. So we'll speak about that footnote in Mitzvah Shem next week. We'll see Atah Shema. Okay, have a great day.
What's the reason why Hashem borrowed the 9 and 13?
Why is he ma'ara that?
Yeah.
Whenever there's an awakening of, let's say, Rachamim from below, let's say, if Moshe pleads for Hashem's Rachamim, so it's Ma'ir Hashem's Rachamim, and that's expressed through Yigam Midas of Rachamim.
So that's why it was, because during that time,
what we needed during that time?
Moshe begged Hashem for Rachamim.
It's pushed as a lichus. Interesting.
If you want to just take a look at, not now, but if you take a look at the bottom, Levi Yaschein, in the bottom of Sekhon Chavches, he points out exactly which parts of the face correspond to Midas of Rachamim. You'll see exactly how it breaks down in the cheeks and in the mustache and below the lips and underneath the chin and the bottom right, left. The whole, all the places he brings it down in. Sifkon Chavches.
Moshe answered that.
Didn't
come into
Yom Kippur
though.
The final gilui of that was by Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is going to be like the hashlama of the rachamim that Moshe was Meyer. Which is why in Yom Kippur, all day.
All day.
Yeah. Right. All day. That's the final revelation of the rachamim.
But it begins with it says,
actually,
Yomin. But the top part, is it Yomin because it's not accessible now? These days, this time.
Why is it a couple more years?
Another day, another time.
That could be very good.